So the Holy Spirit wants to teach about living redemption from the curse. So often in Christianity, people just think that it's words on a page, you know, in the Bible. We're redeemed from the curse because Jesus became a curse for us. And it all sounds nice. And we say, yes, our life is based on that, but we don't live it. We try to figure out every single thing in every area of our life, and we try to do it ourselves. There's no redemption in do-it-yourself Christianity, and there's no honor for God and what he did on the cross by doing that. So he wants to explain and reveal, actually, it's more than an explanation, to reveal, give people a revelation of what it means to truly be redeemed, how to live redeemed, not in a how-to book, not in seven easy lessons, but by being with and in him and allowing him to do his job. The things we think we're supposed to care about, which we've been trained in a Christianese context of, I've got to be good and I better pray for so-and-so and this is what Christians do and I must say this and I must do that to witness to them, is all codswallop. Because if you're really allowing Holy Spirit to live through you, you don't even have to figure that out. You don't even have to say those things or think those things. You just be his wherever you are. And one of the biggest traps of living still under the curse is the enemy using your Christianity against you, using Christian principles against you, telling you, you must do this. If you really were a Christian, you pray more for your husband. If you really were a Christian, you would go up to that neighbor that hates God and you would say all the right things. When, in fact, that person may not be ready, they may not want to hear, you may actually be botching it up because you're not listening to the voice of the good shepherd. You're listening to the voice of the enemy. And we have to be so clear. And the only way we're going to be clear is we go to Holy Spirit moment by moment by moment. And it isn't a burden. And it isn't, oh no, I have to talk to him again. It's just fluidity. He's alive in you. You're alive in him. You're one. You don't live. He lives. It's simple math. And he wants us to really know something that is so important. That if we are living in a situation that is untenable, is so difficult emotionally for us, we are still living as if we're unredeemed. And it's a lie. And that doesn't mean suddenly your husband or wife turn into happy sunshine people, or your work situation turns around overnight. It isn't even about that. It isn't even about them. Though it may become about them later. They may get free later. But that's still a personal choice they have. What it's about is you are not the one doing it. You are not the one taking this into your own hands and making it up as you go. That will never give freedom for anybody. And that is denouncing what Jesus did on the cross. He redeemed us from broken hearts. He redeemed us from pain. He redeemed us from sickness. He redeemed us from sorrow. He redeemed us from disappointment. But we don't live like that. Most Christians, 90% of Christians, do not live like that. We live as if we still have to get redeemed. And again, as he says so often, that is spitting in the face of your Father. Did he redeem you or not? Yes or no? If he did, what are you doing trying to redeem yourself? Trying to fix the situation? Trying to make your husband happy and nice and wonderful? When he's had a miserable background, this is for an instance, a miserable background, no real love in his life, married to his misery, rather than you. And you think somehow you being the amazing, wonderful Christian that you are, so yielded to God and so in love with him, you're going to change him. Yeah, well, good luck. You're going to need a lot. It won't happen like that. You cannot transform anybody or anything for that matter. And it's not even your job. The transformer, the agent of transformation lives in you. But you don't do it. You just say, Holy Spirit, I don't even know what to do. I don't know how to do it. But I know one thing, that I'm not meant to live under the curse any longer, and I'm living under this one. So have me no longer live under the curse in this situation. I give it to you in Jesus' name. if we are sincere about that. We can't just say lip service to this, because you can say a million things and not mean it. We have to be sincere. We have to actually be ready and willing to yield. That is, you know, it's only our 1%, and he does the 99%, the rest. But that 1% is crucial. And we can pretend and say it with our mouths and then go, why didn't anything happen? It's like someone who says, well, I said the prayer, but nothing ever happens. I never get anything. I never feel different. I never receive salvation. Well, where was your heart? God cannot do it to your heart. He cannot make your heart receive him. If he could, he'd be doing it. What he did is, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, so that whoever should believe on him shall have eternal life and not perish. That's what he did. But he can't make you believe on him. That is a choice. And it's the same with situations we may have, whether they're family situations. This idea of, we've got to keep, just be nice. And one day they'll just crack, because we're going to be so nice. We're going to be pouring hot coals on their head, and they're finally just going to yield, finally going to give in. And yet, what may really be happening is the devil has got you by the jugular and has taken you down and said, okay, you prove you're a Christian. You better be nice to this person that's slapping you around the ears, emotionally or physically. You better show that you really care, or you're a lousy Christian. And you're trying to prove how good you are as a Christian because you're so afraid of failing. And you can't be a good Christian. You can only be his and yield to him. Now, if he's telling you, be kind in this situation, be soft, then you do it. But you don't do it as an automatic Christianese response. Well, this is what they tell you to do. Be nice, and it'll all work out in the end. On your deathbed, you're going to be saying 60 years later, wow, that be nice thing didn't work. Well, thank God I'm going home to Jesus. I lived in misery. That is not why he died. We have got to stop having our hands on the wheel, the joystick, or whatever else we want, analogy we want to use. There is no freedom in it. There is none. And there's no freedom from the person we may want to have be free as well. Because we're so busy being a big shot, thinking we're being humble, trying to fix them. I better intercede some more. I better pray some more. And I'm not saying praying and interceding isn't necessary. It is. It's vital in a Christian's life. But let's just not do it as a slapdash effort to make something change, instead of admitting that we were already redeemed from this situation and we just need to receive it. It's already ours. He wants to give it so badly, you know, he can taste it. So for instance, this is something that can actually rock us wildly. If someone's in a situation where they've been so horribly hurt in their heart, and we're going to take marriage, because marriage is such a deep union between people. And there's so many ways the enemy inveigles in way itself into marriage that causes us pain. So say someone's in a marriage, and in that marriage, the person that they marry has been married before. This is very common in modern day Christianity. And they've never been able to deal with their pain of their past marriage, of the failure. They've never been able to admit that they did fail. They even have children that regard them as a failure, or unresolved issues there. They bring all of that into their next marriage, whether it's second, third, fourth, whatever. They drag it around like the dead man. They blame their current spouse for what's happened to them. They start projecting because they have never been able to face themselves in their own failure, what they did do. And they've never been able to give it to Holy Spirit to be redeemed from it, from even their own mistakes. Do you know we're redeemed from our own mistakes? Now that is good news. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. So they don't know any of that. So they commence to torture the new spouse, who soon becomes the old spouse, in years chronologically and in their perception. And it becomes another war and a fight and strife and continual conflict. So the two parties are, you know, living in hell, basically. And they're both believers. We're talking about a situation where they're both believers. And it doesn't matter whether it's a husband or wife, because, you know, in various marriages, one is more spiritually led than the other. But even the one who thinks they're spirit-led, and who is spirit-led, I'm not denying that, can actually be